You are listening to Tell It Like It Is. I'm not Christina Malisoff. This is still Sarah Kendall, but I'm joined by Kieran Riley, the co-host of Tell It Like It Is. We're missing Christina today, but she'll be back soon. Hi, Kieran.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm doing better than Christina. Christina, if you're listening, I hope you feel better.
While we're missing Christina, we are really lucky to be joined by Steve Pierce. We reached out to Steve Pierce this week because we knew we were going to be having conversations on the air all week about community media and independent media and trying to put this project in a little bit of context. And Steve Pierce is a longtime community media activist. He is the executive director of the Media Alliance, and he's visiting us from just a little bit north of here, from Steventown. And I think the last time Steve was here at the WGXC studio, we were building it.
Yep. I can't tell you how exciting it is to drive to Hudson and be able to listen to a great radio station on the way. I've been here for 20 years. It's been a long time coming. It's fantastic. It's so exciting.
Well, thanks for coming. It's really a pleasure to have you all the way down from up north to come down for today. Appreciate it.
Well, you know, I live in Steventown, which is right on the border of Rensselaer and Columbia counties. I'm 500 feet outside the signal of WGXC.
I think there was a story at some point. Was it you that was rigging up some kind of wacky aluminum foil antenna reaching out?
Was there coat hangers involved?
The whole deal. For the first few weeks that you were on the air, my entire living room was filled with antenna apparatus, and I finally was overruled by my family and had to strike the set. But I could barely hear you. We fight between WGXC and a Christian radio station.
I think we're familiar with that one.
And it's so frustrating to me to hear these Christian stations that are all over the place on the dial. I mean, I'm glad that they have a radio station, I guess, but there's so few independent voices that are really open to the entire community that it's an amazing phenomenon when you actually break through the clutter of the Clear Channel stations and the religious broadcasters and all of that and the NPR stations, and you get to hear actual human beings talking about what matters to them in a way that's just honest. On the way here, I heard the interview with the high school student who was down at Occupy Albany. I thought, wow, this is what this is about. I would never have guessed there was an African-American teenager in Catskill or wherever she's from who had been down to Occupy Wall Street. And to hear the transformation that she went through as a result of being there is just amazing to me. There's no way that I could have been exposed to that without this radio station. So I would like to thank you. I had to drive here personally to thank you because I couldn't find myself.
Man, Steve, you want to hang out for a little longer? We're on Pledge Week right now, and you just nailed it. You're just, wow, okay, exactly what he said, folks. We are on Pledge Week, and we are community radio. We do depend on you, and I'm just going to throw out the number there again. It's 828-0290. Please show us your support. We depend on your contributions. We're pretty much all running on volunteer labor over here up on Columbia Street at the studio, so Give us a buzz, 828-0290 and the 518.
And when Kieran walked in here this morning, he said he asked why we weren't talking more about our goal on the air, and that was just an oversight. We were trying to raise $30,000 this week.
$30,000, that's the goal.
This number is not arbitrary. We're raising money for our most basic operating expenses this week. We're not raising money for more cake potlucks. We're raising money to pay the most basic operating expenses of what it takes to run this thing technically day to day. So we're trying to raise $30,000 this week, and we are just under $2,000 so far.
Got a little ways to go, folks. Give us a buzz, 828-0290.
Well, don't, you know, I have to say to folks in the listening area here, do not be complacent about this. This is an incredible resource. There aren't many stations like this in the country. There are fewer than there were just years ago. When I went to college, my life was changed as a result of the college station that was run as a community station in the Dayton area of Ohio, a place where I learned all about the folks who lived in Ohio because they were in the station with me. College students who typically came and went without ever meeting anyone in the community were able to interact with folks on the air. I learned all about bluegrass music and all the incredible culture of southwestern Ohio. And many of the folks who went to that school, including Petri Dish of the Prometheus Radio Project, were very involved in community radio. But by the time he got to the college, it had turned into an NPR station, and there was no longer any community involvement. This is a very rare thing, and folks really have to value it.
And it's high power, which is also one of our claims to fame. I'm so happy to be part of a high-powered community radio station. Could I just ask a question? We talk a lot about media consolidation, corporate media versus grassroots community media. Can we talk about that maybe for some of our listeners that don't really understand what's going on out there? And what are some of the issues with consolidated corporate media? And what is going on out there right now? So why is this even an issue?
Well, luckily, I listened to WGXC, so I heard this morning the economics clip about the consolidation of the broadcast industry, where there's just really, instead of 50 corporations that control 90% of American media back in the 80s, now we're down to 6 or 8. I don't remember what it was, but a handful, right?
All right, but they're not more efficient?
Oh, they're efficient. They're very, very efficient. They're efficient money-making machines. Uh-huh. Radio stations are no longer, in general, used for the original purpose. Back in the old days when radio was young, the hope was that was very much like the internet, actually. Radio is going to eliminate war because it was going to increase the communication between people, erase misunderstandings, make culture available for free, all these things. And somehow, in less than 100 years, we're in a situation where radio stations are machines to make money. That's all they're for. They make money. And in fact, the people who own them don't even lie about it. There was a radio convention up in Saratoga Springs about 10 years ago where the chief executive of Clear Channel said that their model for how they operate their business, the hundreds of radio stations, their model is McDonald's. Because what they do is they create a completely uniform product that you know exactly what it's going to be, and it's the same all the time.
Well, you think you know, but...
Well, and they design it in a way where they get the most output for the least inputs. So they have no labor, they have very little variety of music, they have very few employees in the engineering side, DJs, the whole routine. It's all about reducing things to – it's a scientific method of reducing all the inputs that you can and increasing the outputs, and that's how you make money. That's what radio is. And so when you have an organic product like WGXC, you actually can't understand it in the same way. It seems like the same thing to you because you're sitting at home scanning across the dial, and you go from NPR to Clear Channel to College Station to Religious Station to WGXC. And so on a certain level, they're all the same. They come out of the same box. But you have to understand what you're hearing. You have to understand how what you're hearing is produced. It's produced here by volunteers and people who are passionate about politics and music and art and culture and kids and food and, you know, all the things that are important. And they do it because they love what they're doing, and they do it because it's important. And a couple times a year, they ask the folks who are part of the experiment. It's a participatory experiment in media. Help. Don't just sit there. Help.
What I like about what you just said is that it really is. There's only so much that you can hear that reveals what's going on here. And I was trying to talk about that a little bit this morning. Where, like, on the one hand, I think there's all kinds of really cool and interesting and important things broadcast on WGXC, and mostly I think they're important because they're produced by people here, and I think it's important that we know who our neighbors are. So that seems that to me seems like it seems very simple. But what's going on here behind the scenes is participatory in a lot of different ways. We've got a technical director here who is determined to see hands-on radio, which is our slogan, to carry that through into the technical realm, where somebody can walk in here and say, I want to be an audio engineer, or I want to learn how a transmitter works, and they can literally have their hands on that process too. Same with just about every part of our governance infrastructure here, that we have a community advisory council. It's called our radio council, who make programming decisions. They govern us. Actually, Kieran, who's sitting here, holds a member elected seat on the radio council right now. So he was elected by WGXC's membership to help sort of guide this station in its process of growing up. So that there's this participatory element and this kind of like empowerment model that falls into every part of what we do here. But I think how it gets translated on the air is it's very hard to parse that out. And in some ways it gets translated, because what you're hearing is like someone's iPod ticking when they're the volume on a computer, that like tick, 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 because we're not professionals. Not very few people here have went to school for media making.
Thankfully.
And you can hear it. Well, you can hear it in all the best.
Here we are, live and in color.
I think what you're saying is absolutely right. First of all, though, I have not done this yet, and I really feel duty-bound to tell folks that really it's time for you to make your move. Okay, don't wait. Call up and pledge your support for WGXC.
What's that number, Steve?
518-828-0290. 828-0290. It's really important. The station runs on love, but the utility companies don't accept payment.
They don't recognize that. Yeah, I tried it. They don't. Yeah. You're right.
I saw Tom and Galen with their pickup truck load of love that they took down to Verizon.
Yeah.
You're talking about $100,000 a year to keep a radio station going all day, every day. And what we're looking for here is $30,000, a portion of that to keep the station going. Right now, it's early in the pledge drive, and I think we're hovering around $2,000. Mm-hmm. We need some folks to call 828-0290. Make your pledge and help support the radio station. There's lots of great reasons to do it, and you already know because you're listening to the station. One other thing, after you make that call, you might call your neighbor who you know doesn't listen to WGXC and ask them to start supporting it. It's really important. Impossible to overstate how important it is to have a local community-based voice in your hometown. It ties people together in a rural county where folks don't know each other. I had no idea how many Spanish-speaking people there were in Columbia County until I heard them speaking on WGXC. There's this incredible fabric of the community here. It's one of the great strengths of Hudson and the communities in Green and Columbia counties is the diversity. But diversity also poses challenges. People have a hard time communicating with one another, and it's hard to stick the glue together to make a vibrant community. And one of the great ways of doing it is via a radio station. You know, a moment ago, Sarah was talking about how hard it is to see behind the scenes into a radio station. I should say that from my experience, the organization that I work for, Media Alliance, applied for a non-commercial license back at the same time that the folks at WGXC did for the Albany area, which is, you know, sadly bereft of a community station. We've got NPR stations, religious stations, college stations, Clear Channel stations. We've got all of that and no authentic voice for people who live there to communicate with one another without the mediation of money. And that makes it very difficult to say the things that need to be said. Our application was beat out by a Christian broadcaster that was essentially part of an application mill. The folks who applied saw a late-night ad on television. Have you ever wanted to own a Christian radio station? Now's your chance. Call this number. We'll hook you up with an attorney and an engineer. And for no money, you can apply for a license. This was done because you needed to be a local applicant. And this is how they solicited local applicants for chains of radio stations. So this station that's in Albany is running automated programming from a satellite dish with the assistance of a computer. That's what that radio station is. It's the opposite. It's as far from what we have here as you could possibly get, where there are actual human beings from all walks of life, passionate about the community that they live in, who want to make this thing successful. And so it's really important that folks do as much as they can to support it, because it's one of the most difficult things you can do. You talk about efficiency. The most efficient way to run a radio station is with a satellite dish and a computer and no employees. That's the most efficient way.
The people-less route.
Super efficient. Soulless, but efficient. The least efficient way would be with lots of volunteers, a radio council, massive amounts of community input, and a program schedule that tries to cover all the bases in your community. That's the hardest thing to do. So, strangely, the people with the least money are trying to do the hardest thing in the world of radio. It's really important to understand that and to do whatever you can to help support it. We're not talking about huge amounts of money either. We're talking about whatever you can afford. Whatever you can afford to do your part and say, listen, we appreciate what's happening. This community is a different place a year later. A year after this radio station came on the air, this is a different community. And you have to do your part to help support it. All you have to do is call 518-828-0290 or go on the website, wgxc.org. Make a pledge in whatever amount you can afford and do your part to help keep this thing going.
And if you're not inspired enough yet by those words, we do have some incentives. We have some thank you
goodies,
gifts.
Yummy goodies.
These are sometimes called premiums. We like to call them thank you gifts because they're not so much rewards as they are. They are like an extra, they're an added incentive, and then they really are a way that we, in partnership with a lot of the local businesses here, can thank you for your support. So I'm going to say a couple of them right now. If you were to call in right now and make a pledge of $50 or more, you could get a gift certificate to a couple of really amazing, amazing restaurants in Hudson that are supporters of the radio station. We've got a gift certificate here from Bruno's. We've got a gift certificate here from Tansy's, and we've also got a gift certificate here from Truck Pizza. That's a Neapolitan style wood fired pizza out of a truck on Warren Street. So those are three small restaurants on Warren Street in Hudson who are friends of the radio station, have said if somebody were to call in and offer $50 or more, they could get a gift certificate of $25 to one of those spots. So that's
should be incentive, right?
That's moving your fingers to the phone. Another one, if you don't want to just eat, if you want to actually move your body, we also have an amazing offer from Cheryl Kay, who's a programmer here, and she's a Pilates instructor. And she's offering classes for pledges of $75 or more. It's a class with Cheryl Kay, who's host of the Jazz Disturbance here. It's going to be a really small class. So it's sort of a personal session with Cheryl Kay. It's a pledge of $75 or more. And the kind of Pilates she does is she works with people who are trying to learn to be, learn to be comfortable in their bodies through building strength. And I've actually had some sessions with her, and they're awesome.
Well, we got tons of other stuff just to let people know. 828-0290, 518-828-0290. Give us a buzz. Show your financial support and promise you will get a prize.
You know, it's,
or
it's,
a gift or whatever.
It's actually even more than that, because when I see these kinds of premiums, first of all, these are not your restaurants. These are the real people who live in your community who are serving good quality food that tastes good and is good for you. But beyond that, you're going there anyway. So instead of giving them the money, give it to WGXC, and you still get the food. It's an amazing thing.
That's right.
You're going anyway. This is not new money you have to find. It's money you're already spending. You're just putting it through one more wash cycle and letting it benefit the radio station on its way to your plate. You have to see it that way. These folks in these restaurants, which are by no means cash cows, they're struggling independent businesses. Mm-hmm. They are putting themselves on the line, and they are donating food and service to the radio station, mm-hmm, so that WGXC can give it to you in exchange for your support. Do what you can. Do what these restaurants and small businesses are doing. Do your part to support the station.
Yep. Thank you, Bruno's, Tansy's, Kamiya.
Yeah, we do. It is.
Bee's Knees, Look Apparel, so many more. Thank you all out there.
It is a very cool way for businesses to become a part of this process, because we all do know how hard it is to have a small independent business in Columbia and, gosh, and in Greene County. But so when businesses, when Crossroads Brewery, when our restaurants, when our neighbors step up and say, we don't necessarily have financial resources to give, but we have a lot of love for what you're doing. I think you're right. The thank you gifts are a pretty cool example of some of the partnerships that can be built around here. And it's like the most, and it's, well, I worry sometimes we start sounding like the Home Shopping Network when we start listing them on the air. But it also is kind of fun. I know that's I always wait for a good thank you gift when we pledge. We'll be trickling them throughout the week. But we really do need these calls to come in kind of slowly throughout the week. Otherwise, we get really panicky. We're at $2,000 right now. And our last two pledge drives, which were both successful, we raised $30,000 in October, and we raised $18,000 in the last spring when we had just been on the air for 1 month. They were successful, and they had so many $5, $10, $25 pledges. It's an amazing, amazing thing to see actually this amount of money be raised by so many people giving these little bits. I do want to rewind, and I wanted to even – we didn't even – I want to hear about the work that you do, Steve, because you are our neighbor a little bit north of here, and you sort of live and breathe what we're talking about.
Well, I've been doing independent media work for a long time, since college, actually, when I got involved with the college station, as I said, that in an unusual way opened its doors to members of the community. So there were a lot of college-age kids from the East Coast and wherever the student body came from mingling with farmers and truck drivers and all the folks who lived in Dayton. It was really a beautiful experience. I learned so much about music and all other kinds of things that I never would have learned any other way. There's just no other way I could have had the education that I got. And it wasn't structured in the form that we generally see education today, where you have the violent form of education, where you're forcibly fed facts and then forced to regurgitate them for a grade. This was the organic thing, where you learn because you love learning and you love the people you're learning from. And since then, I've worked at a bunch of community radio stations around the country. I helped start WOZ in New Orleans, and I was just talking about that station, which, you know, is a similar kind of thing where New Orleans, as everyone knows, is an amazing hotbed of culture, music and art and dance and food and everything. And yet there was no local radio station. There was no community-based station. And so the musicians there were suffering without an outlet for the work that they did. And it wasn't until this community station started that people really began, I think, to value the incredible resource that music especially was and is in New Orleans. And in spite of how obvious that is today, the first few years that the station was on the air, and it was in a facility not unlike this one, it was in a one-bedroom apartment over at Tipitina's nightclub, very low budget. And we would have fun drives like this one in the first few years where the time between calls was agonizingly long. And it seemed that people didn't really understand what we were doing. They didn't appreciate it. And, in fact, I think that's true. I think if you've never had a radio station like this before to listen to, it's difficult to develop the appreciation for it that's required to support it as fully as you might. The conventional wisdom is that it takes about 2 years for people to go from being passive listeners to a radio station to being active supporters. And so when you're only a year into your life, it's hard to fundraise, because if it does take 2 years, it's only the few who are listening who get it more quickly than others. The smart people, the compassionate people, the ones who really care are going to be the early adopters and are going to do what it takes.
518-828-0290, folks. Let's see what you got.
It doesn't take that much to support the station. It's really, to a large extent, is a morale booster for the folks who are doing the heavy lifting here every day, putting together the programming. You can do it online, you can do it by credit card, you can, you know, whatever it takes, I hope you can do it. And I also hope that folks will, I know a lot of folks don't have any disposable income or not much, and so if that's your situation, you might want to consider becoming a volunteer here and donating time if that's what you have more of, because there's always a need for more people on every level of the organization. I mean, it is a true grassroots community organization that requires people from the folks who will take some time to clean up the sink in the restroom, sweep the floors, vacuum, clean windows. You know, this radio station is not something that is a shimmering high-tech venture. It's something that has some equipment in it, but it's a very earthy enterprise. It has many, many people coming through every day and requires all the things that any organization requires: fundraising, production, childcare,
meetings,
you know, everything. So it's not just about calling 828-0290 and pledging, although that would be awesome. It's also about doing everything that it takes to keep the radio station running. Sure. So the good part of the story is that even though the first few years, that, of course it was the first few years when I was involved with the radio station, things were such such a tough sled ride. Now, I guess it's been 20 years, the station is incredibly successful and has listeners all around the world to its web stream. And they broadcast the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival every year. And, you know, it's just an incredibly successful operation, which still does fundraisers and pledge drives. But instead of inching its way to a goal of $15,000 or $20,000, as was the case back when I was involved there, you're talking about a budget in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. But it's still what it was. It's this incredible testament. It's a reflection of the community in which people live. On the air, it represents the folks who are part of the community, and it really requires everybody doing their part to keep it going.
Wow, that's amazing. That's really, truly amazing. And it goes beyond that, too, because it also has to do with, we talked a little bit, I want to get back to this idea of the corporate media, the consolidated media, the importance of independent media. And I was hoping maybe you could talk a little bit more about the Media Alliance, and also to talk about the Sanctuary for Independent Media up at Troy, which you've been a part of as well. And if you could just comment a little bit on the type of work that they're doing up there, why it's important, and maybe something that you're working on right now with the Alliance or whatever.
Sure. I'll say that the physical manifestation of our media project is not a radio station. It's actually a performance center and based in an old church in one of the poorest communities in upstate New York, in North Troy. We eventually bought an old church. We were in it for a while, paying very little rent, and use it as a place where we've actually over time developed a high-definition TV studio and audio production facility. And so we record most of the things that we present, which includes Amy Goodman's been there, Juan Gonzalez will be there a little later this month, Reverend Billy's going to be there in a couple of weeks. We've had lots of music. But actually, the genesis of this project, a church turned into a media center, is the frustration that we've had in the Albany area with the media consolidation, which has locked out the authentic voices of people in the community. I've been there for, I don't know, I moved from New York City, where I worked at Pacifica Radio and at Deep Dish TV, to come to grad school, and I became involved with the radio. The RPI radio station could be more along the lines of what I remember when I was in school, a station run by students for the benefit of the community. And that's an amazing thing where it works. It's not, for 18-year-olds, it's not the first thing that comes to mind when they think about what they want to do with their radio station. And for a couple of years, we were able to do that. There have always been a lot of folks from the community involved at the station. But we turned it into something, when I was a student there working with other students, it was much more like what WGXC is. There's a lot of public affairs programming, lots of different kinds of music, all different kinds of things going on. And in the long run, it proved unsustainable. The student body at a very conservative technical school really didn't have its heart in it, and certainly the management of the school didn't. Proved what you heard or what I heard driving here today, listening to WGXE. It's important to own it. You have to own it. If somebody else owns it, they can take it from you. You can be evicted. And so I was evicted along with my fellow students from the radio station, and the kind of programming that we wanted to have on it disappeared. One day it was there, the next day it wasn't. And so it was the frustration that I feel of my alma mater, where the community radio station was evicted, no longer there. It's now an NPR station that plays canned satellite programming. So you have something here at WGXC that's incredibly important. It's owned and operated by the community for the community. It's an amazing thing. You own it, and you have to support it. I only wish we had something like this in the Albany area. I went from the radio station and a place where there were no available frequencies, and all the frequencies were controlled by people who were doing with the station what they chose, for the most part making money, but other things as well, religious broadcasters, other college stations, the NPR station, and there was no place for individual people to get on the air and to talk about the things that were really important, like the war and the impending new wars and the future wars and the economy and education and all the things that really matter. There was no place for people to talk about it in their own terms. So I went from that to try to organize a public access cable station based on the Time Warner cable franchise in Albany. Because in many communities, not so many in New York State, but in many communities, public access cable is an incredible place where individual humans who live in a community can come in and get their hands on equipment and use it to communicate with one another. Sadly, in Albany and most of upstate New York, it doesn't exist. And so a 10-year effort trying to get the cable company to give up what it's required to do, part of the deal for using public rights away to run cable into the homes is that they're supposed to provide channels and resources so that the community can use the cable system that Time Warner uses to make money. The community could use it to make TV programming for the community. And it turns out that Time Warner, on the list of the very few corporations that control 90% of the media in this country, Time Warner doesn't want to do that. And we live in a state where the state's not going to force them to do it. And so there's no community television in the Albany area for the most part. And so from that frustration, from the community radio frustration to the community television frustration, we started, I with a number of friends and family members, started to get involved in the indie media movement, which was a web-based version of the same spirit, people getting their hands dirty, learning how to do media themselves and distributing it themselves at that time through the new magic of the Internet. And so my experience has evolved over the past 20 years into trying to figure out some outlet for people to express themselves in an economy and in a political system where almost every place where individuals could make use of high-tech communications tools, their access is curtailed for very crude economic and political reasons. I feel a little bit like a cockroach, dodging the boot of the corporate overlord, trying to find a space where we can express ourselves with our neighbors. And so we've ended up at the Sanctuary for Independent Media, which is a place where you can come and see folks who have no other place to appear, and you can learn how to use production equipment. And actually, if you go to our website, mediasanctuary.org, you can see a lot of the productions that we've done. And we live stream most of our events. So if you can't make it to North Troy, you can check us out on the Internet.
And we just had a meeting on Wednesday, a Skype meeting. Was it yesterday, Wednesday? Yesterday, we had five of our high school students here who Skyped with some of the folks at the Sanctuary to prepare for the New York Shout-Out Youth Media Festival that's happening at the Sanctuary on April 28th. So some of the students that you hear on WGXC are going to be doing a live broadcast from the Sanctuary on April 28th. We were there last year too. For a day-long workshop and film festival that brought together youth from all over New York State to sort of like network, hear what they're working on. I think the students that we brought from WGXC to the Sanctuary last year for the Be the Media Day were like, I think they thought I was crazy, always talking about like why it was so radical and so important what they were doing. I was like, you guys don't understand. We're giving you these tools. These are powerful tools. And they were like, okay, like we want to play hip hop on the radio now. And then we went up to the Sanctuary for Independent Media, and they saw the Green Gorillas from Ithaca, and they saw students from the Albany Tech High, Tech Valley High, and they saw Youth FM, and they saw all these other young people who were really kind of hip to this idea of like, wow, what we're being given cameras and audio recorders and editing tools and then an outlet for them is incredibly, incredibly powerful. And it can be powerful in the worst kind of way, and it can be powerful in the most transformative and extraordinary, simple ways. And they left different people, I think. So we just had this Skype meeting yesterday. I learned that you should never actually try to have a Skype meeting with five high school students on one side of a screen. It doesn't totally work. But they are really so excited to step into your church space and get some of that energy. I'm going to say the phone numbers once more. Our numbers here are 518-828-0290 and 518-697-7400. If you're not somebody who likes to pick up the phone, you can also go online at wgxc.org/donate. We're friendly here. We don't bite. And we can also answer your questions if you're listening and you have questions. So it doesn't only have to be to pledge, but we are trying to raise $30,000 this week. We're going to be here through Wednesday, April 4th. Going to be an exhausting week. We're going to be loopy by the end. I recommend listening. It's probably going to be sort of entertaining.
Hey, we're pretty much, what is it, 1/15th of the way there? Come on, let's look. We're going. We're moving here. We're moving here. I mean, it's kind of just ask one more thing. Maybe you could also comment about this. What's the difference between, you know, there's certain routes you could kind of go corporate, and we could get a couple of local huge corporations to maybe sponsor us or call up local Walmart or something and be like, hey, can you give us 30 grand or whatever? And then we get it from that one store down the road or whatever. We don't do that. We ask you to give us a call at 518-828-0290, and we get small donations from our listeners. And I believe that that is part of what makes this a completely different thing. Like, what talk about, like, where the money comes from, how that affects media, maybe.
Well, the people who pay the expenses are the ones who call the shots. That's right. Why it's so important to have individual members of the community give many small donations, so no one person or a few people are in control of something that's so incredibly important. I'm glad you brought that up, because it's in the world that we live in, everything is for sale. Mm-hmm. Your high school signboard is for sale on the football field.
Mm-hmm.
The land under the vending machine at the elementary school is for sale to candy companies and soda companies. I mean, everything is for sale. So when you find something like this that's not for sale, it's an incredible statement. What it means is that we care enough about being able to tell the truth when we have to, that we're not going to even risk having a big sponsor who could pull the plug on us. And that's not some paranoid fantasy that a big sponsor will control you. Actually, the big danger in getting corporate sponsors is self-censorship, I find. Every place where I've ever worked or encountered folks where they're going after big corporate money, they won't touch political stories. They won't touch anything that might anger big sponsors, whether corporate or individual. Abortion rights,
pharmaceutical,
anything like that's potentially controversial, folks will stay away from. I think the best example of a radio organization that doesn't accept corporate contributions is the Pacifica Foundation, which is the producer of Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. They, in their entire history, have never taken corporate money. And in fact, I'm not even sure that they take, they do take government money through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, but there have been a number of instances in Pacifica's history where their government funding was threatened because of the programming. The McCarthy years foremost among them, but every 10 years, pretty regularly, support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is threatened. And actually, Pacifica is a great example of this model. When Pacifica started in, I think it was 1949 in Berkeley, FM radio was worthless. It was so worthless, they actually were able to get a frequency. And they went on the air. Unfortunately, the downside of being on FM back then was that no one had an FM radio. AM radios were not required. Radios were not required to have AM and FM tuners. They just had AM tuners. You'd have to go out and get a separate FM radio, but there were no FM stations, so nobody had the radio. So Pacifica, you think you have it, Pat. Pacifica started a radio station with no money and all volunteers, and they had to actually
convince people to get radios.
No, they had to give people radios. They had to, They have these, there's pictures.
We'll be giving people antennas.
Well, antennas are good. That's one step better than having to get a radio. The original Pacifica KPFA radios were FM tuners that only received KPFA. And not only that, but they had a really big uphill struggle there, because KPFA was the first listener-sponsored radio station in the country. So if you think it's hard to convince people that they should support you by sending in their contributions, even just something as simple as picking up the phone and dialing 828-0290, at least you don't have to explain to people what that means, what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
When in 1949 in Berkeley, KPFA had to explain to people what the system was. They had to explain to people why you would pay for something that you can get for free without paying for it.
Right.
And now that's such a part of the common language now. You see it on public radio, public television. Everybody's doing that. So we understand what it means. Doesn't mean that it isn't hard to get people to do it at times,
right?
But at least they get it. But the whole premise was to get a bunch of donations from as many people in the community as possible, small donations or larger ones, but spread it around so that nobody takes control of the radio station itself. So that's why I think it's so important not to take money from either major, huge major donors, like Bill Gates wants to be the sole supporter. I don't think that would be a good thing, and I don't think it'd be a good idea for the folks who are in the corporate world here to to donate. The best example of why it would be a bad idea, you know, 10 years or so ago when St. Lawrence cement was such a hot button issue in the community, we needed a radio station here during that time. Friends of Hudson and their supporters were successful in the end at stopping this threat to the community. But if there had been a radio station, imagine how much easier it would have been. Mm. And imagine how difficult it would have been if St. Lawrence Cement was a corporate sponsor of the radio station.
Yeah, I mean, they dumped $60 million into public relations alone to fight this ragtag group of individuals, I believe myself included, probably yourself, to fight this cement plant, and we won. I mean, it was $60 million versus literally the $5 pledges that Friends of Hudson did to build that organization. That's a great analogy. And, yeah.
And the organization was so strong as a result of that, it was pretty much impervious to being hijacked. Another example of the corrosive effect of corporate money in media is General Electric. Not only are they one of the very few corporations that control 90% of American media, they also are the proprietors of the largest Superfund site in the United States, the Hudson River. Mm-hmm. And when I first moved here, there was a massive grassroots effort to get them to clean up the mess they made, a mess they knew that they made and that they made a fortune in the process of making. And every day, in every newspaper in the Capital Region, there was a full-page ad paid for by General Electric opposing cleaning up the Hudson. You could turn on a television or a radio without hearing their ads opposing the cleanup.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a toxic mess in the Hudson, and it's a toxic mess on the airwaves when people allow corporate donors to control the message that needs to be independent and truthful.
Yeah, and independent, truthful, those two words you say. I mean, this is what we're trying to do here, community radio. We have the only financial or any strings attached, and what we do are to you, the listeners. So it's an accessible station. You call us up, 828-0290, or go on the website, stop by the station at Columbia Street, and you too can be involved here. It's that accessible. That's what I did. I was like, hey, I want to join up and make some radio. I don't know anything about technology. And they're like, we'll teach you.
Kieran,
we got workshops.
Didn't know how to turn... work a computer.
I really don't like that, and I still don't. But, however, this is a necessary tool for broadcasting and sharing stuff about agriculture. I predominantly do agriculture stuff, and then with Christina, we do Tell It Like It Is, by the way, which you're listening to right now.
But it also is a testament to how accessible the technologies here are.
Yeah, that it's very accessible, and you're talking to a Luddite here.
there's a freaky bunch of buttons, but it really is. I mean, our high school students come in here, and they are the 11-year-olds come in here, and they totally are in charge. And I think what's interesting about what you're saying is that, you know, a lot of the time when we talk about independent media, and you think about the kind of hard hitting investigative journalism that that we need to happen outside of corporate sponsored media. And so that's a little bit different than what we're doing here and what we have the capacity to do here. We aren't paying journalists here. We're non-professionals. And there are a lot of challenges that come up every day and every week about how to responsibly and ethically navigate some really, really thorny local issues. But what we do have is we have microphones here and we have open doors. And what that means is that the more people that we have sharing, talking, questioning, the more the truth becomes less a hard line of this is what's really happening and more a process of people trying to understand a really wide range of perspectives. And I think that's
exactly right. And sorry to interrupt, but there's also a sort of an unspoken standard of civility here where I really believe that anyone, I mean, you get some wackos out there, really offensive or whatever, but generally anyone can come in here, have something to share, have a voice, have something, an issue or whatever it is, and you're going to have some listeners here. There's, you know, a guy from the local Tea Party, for example, who I know, he's a neighbor, and he wants to come on the air and talk. Sure. That's what we're here for. We're beholden to our listeners. We don't have fiduciary responsibility towards our shareholders. We have, you know, good quality programming responsibilities to our listeners, and that's you. So give us a buzz, 828-0290.
I also have some I'm going to say thank you to some of the folks that have called in when we've been on the air. We've gotten three anonymous calls, one from Rensselaer, one from Chatham, and one from an anonymous location.
But I'm down with anonymous. I like anonymous.
People who called in to support this show, to support Tell It Like It Is, because Christina and Kieran really do an amazing job every week of both bringing in some really amazing people and having really amazing interviews, and then also curating programming during this time that is always really extraordinary. So thanks to those of you who called in and didn't let us sing your praises on the air, but we really do support. And then Jordan Schmidt from Hudson, who says she is really lucky to have great radio while working in the greenhouse.
Yeah. Shout out to the farmers out there. And to Christina once again, the regular host and kind of pioneer of this show, Tell It Like It Is, which I sort of regularly co-host. So
I want to hear about some of the events that you guys have coming up at the Sanctuary for Independent Media.
Sure. I might need a crutch here because with age, my memory isn't what it used to be, I like to say, but then it never was. We're a couple of weeks into our season already. We had a really great opening weekend that featured one evening of films from the Occupy movement, about a dozen films from all over the United States, produced in a hands-on grassroots fashion by the folks who are at the forefront of the Occupy movement, which is probably defrosting even as I speak. I'll be interested to see what happens this spring at the various Occupies.
Oh, it's happening.
Oh, yes.
Stay tuned.
And then we had, I don't know why I'm telling you what's already happened, but I'll get from that to what's happening. A really interesting evening, a book launch for former Weather Underground member David Gilbert, whose book is called Love and Struggle. And he's serving a life sentence for his role in some of the Weather Underground actions back in the day. But he was surrounded by folks in the Albany area who used to be in the Weather Underground, and they talked about those years and also the connections to political activism today. So that was interesting. And we've had a couple of great music events as well. Marco Cagliari, a former member of the heavy metal band Anonymous. We were talking about Anonymous.
Hey.
I assume it's not Marco calling. But he's now taken a strange turn in his career and has embraced his Italian culture. And so he's doing this incredible Italian band.
Huh. Anonimissimo.
But coming up on Saturday, we have Gorilla Midwife, which is a film about midwives all around the world and focuses on the amazing hands-on grassroots movement of women taking control of their own bodies and their own reproductive rights to help one another bring life to the earth without going through the medical industry, which is destroying the early years of so many young people today. It's an interesting film that draws the connections between the violence of birth in the corporate medical system and the peace that can be achieved one baby at a time through the midwife movement. That's this Saturday. Reverend Billy is coming on Saturday, April 14th.
And the church is Stop Shopping, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, Reverend
His
Billy.
Full choir, the Stop Shopping Gospel Choir.
They are good.
And they are doing the Declaration of the Occupation. They were at the sanctuary a couple years ago, and it's amazing to have Reverend Billy, who's basically a performance artist with a real gospel band, but they're singing about freedom and justice and anti-consumerism and all that, in a former church. It was an awesome place to see them. In fact, you can go to our website and see some of the video that we shot the last time he was here. Then Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez is coming April 20th. We have the third annual New York Youth Media Festival, New York Shoutout. I won't go too much into the rest of the schedule. You can find it online at mediasanctuary.org. But I would like to follow up on Sarah's comments about the youths who were involved last year, because it is youths and media where so much of this really happens. I got a chance to hear some of the young people on WGXC this morning on my way here, which was a beautiful driving experience. It's great to have a choice of what to listen to in the car instead of the same crappy 10 songs over and over again.
Don't forget about the commercials.
And the commercials, yeah. But these kids the thing about youth media is this. Kids are the target of the corporate media industry. Mm. They're at the receiving end of some of the most sophisticated messaging on earth. Mm. And you can tell them that all day long. And you can warn them about it. And you can counsel them and forbid them and do all those things. But until you put media tools in their hands and have them think about what goes into making media and get them to really consider how you craft messages and what the editing process does in media production and all those things, you can talk to them all day long. But until you put these tools in their hands and let them take charge of them, you will not see the transformation that can take place. And at this Youth Media Festival, I know this stuff. I've been doing it for 20, 30 years. And still, every time I get into a room with young people who are just beginning to get skilled at the use of media tools, I don't appreciate how important all this is until I see the kids doing it themselves. And then I realize this is what it's all about. So it's a real testimony to what WGXC is doing and has done from the first moments of its organization the amount of energy that's being spent on training kids and bringing them into the organization is phenomenal. And I can tell you, you already know, but I'll tell you anyway, kids are not that easy to deal with. And it's not that easy to get them to try new things and to stay on task. So working with kids is an incredible commitment to the kids of this community. Your kids, right? You're listening. Your kids and your friends' kids have a place to go to learn about media and to learn how to express themselves and learn to be critical about the media that they're consuming themselves.
That's right.
That would not be possible without this radio station.
And we are at a milestone moment with our kids here, where we're about to bring in, as we bring in new young people to be trained here, they're going to start to be trained by our youth producers. So that idea that like me standing in front of a room and trying to get a group of young people to listen, which is so hard. Everybody who's done work with young people know that. And so we're just starting to it's starting to be reciprocated and self-generated, where we've got now this core of trained youth producers who are going
they
out
are
into
awesome.
After school programs, and they're going to Girl Scout groups, and they're here and they're hosting workshops. The phone number here is 518-828-0290. Another phone number is 518-697-7400. I am so on that youth media tip. I'm totally addicted right now.
Yeah, big shout out to the youth. He's here.
Going through every. I'm 24, and like every night, I'm having like my angst sessions about like who am I and what am I doing and what am I trying to do. And the youth media thing is like it's a pure good. I feel so settled when I'm working with young people to make media, because I think it's one of the most important things that needs to be done right now.
Could I ask, is there time to play a song dedicated to our wonderful, beautiful youth?
Yeah,
at
totally.
At the end here, we're actually getting towards the end here, and I'm wondering, sometimes, a lot of times we play a song. Just because.
I'm gonna announce a couple quick things. This has been so much fun.
I'm having
so much fun in here. But I'm going to just announce a couple things that we have coming up on the air. Because we've got a whole bunch of kind of Be Your Media specials during the pledge drive. Tomorrow's Living Poets Show is a conversation among small press independent publishers. Someone from Ugly Duckling Press, Sam Truitt from Station Hill, and Rebecca Wolf from Fence and Fence Books. They're going to talk about some of the evolving concerns and definitions of putting media out there in the world in printed and digital forms. We've got a Vinyl Round Robin, a guest DJ Vinyl Round Robin on Friday night as a special. And on Saturday morning at 10 a.m., you can tune in to hear some information about what is Free 103.9. Free 103.9 is our parent organization. You can tune in on Saturday morning to hear an information and explanation about transmission arts, about radio art, and more. It can help you understand a lot of what you hear a lot of on WGXC. That's transmission arts, creative use of the airwaves. We've also got on Monday afternoon, we're going to be joined by Verlin Klinkenborg. He is on the editorial board of the New York Times and author of the regular column in the New York Times, The Rural Life. He's a supporter of the project, and he's going to be talking to us about some of the concerns facing people like him who sit on the editorial board of the New York Times. It'll be interesting to pair that conversation with our conversations about participatory media, and then also Rick Stangle, who is the managing editor of Time Magazine, is going to be with us on Wednesday afternoon to have a similar kind of conversation. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm talking so much, but one more. Next week's Youth Radio Radio Explosion Show is called There Are 1 Million Trayvon Martins, and they're really preparing this one, so I really recommend tuning in. It's going to be at 3:30 on Wednesday. It's a pledge drive special, and it's looking at what the story of what happened to Trayvon Martin means for teenagers in the Hudson Valley.
Could I just interject, also, just say we're wrapping up. We're out of time, so I really, really want to give a special thank you to Steve Pierce for coming down here. Really appreciate it. You're talking to us about community media. It's been very helpful for me and hopefully for the listeners out there. Once again, 828-0290. So thanks for coming down.
Well, I really appreciate the chance to come here. It's always great to have an excuse to come to Hudson. It's a much nicer drive now than it used to be just a year ago, because I can listen to WGXC on the way in. I really, you know, I've said it all throughout this program, but it's just so important that folks who are in the listening area do their part to help out the radio station. Can you believe it? You can turn on the radio. You can hear Democracy Now. You can hear Al Jazeera. You can hear kids from your school. You can hear farmers. You can hear musicians. I mean, it's an amazing thing. It didn't exist a year ago. Somebody's got to help pay for the bills. The folks who are here running it are doing their part, mostly volunteers, working every day. The station's on all day, every day. It's running on a shoestring budget. It just needs a little bit of help to keep going, and you can be the person to help. 828-0290. Do your part to make this thing the incredible resource that it can be. It's already started. Imagine where it's headed. You can make it happen.
That's right.
There's so much potential.
We're wrapping up. I was hoping we'd add time for a song dedicated to the youth. This is Michael Fronte and Spearhead. Listen to the words. It's called "Hey World, Let Go of Remote Control."
You just made me tear up, Steve, too.
One, two, rock a hair world. You know you got to put up a fight. Hair world, you're rumbling the jungle tonight. Hair world, keep bringing it the rest of your life. You got to put up a fight. You got to put up a fight. Hair world, you know you got to put up a fight. Hair world, you're rumbling the jungle tonight. Hair world, you're running for the rest of your life. You got to put up a fight. You got to put up a fight. Boom, boom, there's a battle going on in this earth. Every day, work, school, death, and birth. There are 6 billion people on this earth. Can you tell me what every single life is worth? Take a sniff, look around, and see history. My weapon and my method is no mystery. I didn't come here to chill, I came here to rock. To smash the empire with my boombox. You got to let go of remote control. You got to let go of remote control. You got to let go of remote control. You got to let go of remote control.
You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Hands-on radio for Columbia and Greene counties.